Series of recordings will deal with the rest of God. Let us get an understanding of the divine mind of God. Let us see what the Father thinks in relation to the rest of God. How it can be applied to us. How we can enter into that rest so that our years upon the earth will not be wasted. So that we don't just pass through this earth like mere men and die off without seeing the glory and the rest of God. The Bible says that there remains a rest. And certain people will certainly enter into that rest. And to be among that company, we must have what they call a bold resolve. By faith, we must begin to apply that which we are hearing this hour by, you know, from the Spirit of God. As we hear these words from the throne of God, we have to mix it with faith and apply it in our lives so that it yields fruits. So that we can enter into the rest of God. The rest talks about a period of refreshing. It talks of a period of dominion, of total control, a period of untouchable peace and victory. It's a period of glory. It is that which Jesus Christ has bought, you know, has brought to our, you know, disposal by the death of the cross, on the cross. Jesus Christ says, come unto me, all you that are heavily laden, and I will give you rest for your souls. The rest of God that we seek is all contained in the package of the gospel that was preached by the Lord Jesus. So let us open our ears to listen to what the Spirit is saying in these hours. Amen. Let us listen to what the Spirit is saying. It is only as we listen silently that this thing can yield life in us. It is only as we listen silently that we can receive from the Father of Lights. As we meditate on these words day and night. See, we receive these words and we meditate on them day and night. In silence. The Father begins to impart light into us. He begins to give us that bread from heaven. No man can give another man light. Light comes from above, from the Father of Lights. Praise God. Shouldn't we learn from the animals? Shouldn't we learn from the cattle? From the omnivorous animals, those that chew on the cud? In the daytime, they eat grass. They nourish themselves with grass, with herbs. And in the evening time, they sit down and chew the cud. Who talks of reflection, meditation? So we must always have time to, in our lives, to listen. So that we can pierce beyond the natural and begin to hear the divine mind of God. Now, without wasting time, let us rush quickly to the book of Hebrews. And let us see what Paul talks about the rest. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 1. It says, now God has offered us the promise that we may receive that rest he spoke about. Let us take care then. I'm reading from the Good News Bible. See, the King James Version is at times very difficult, you know, too much thou, they. So I just prefer to read the good news Bible in this. I'll use the Good News Bible for certain verses in this teaching. I'll start over from verse 1, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1. Now God has offered us the promise that we may receive that rest he spoke about. Let us take care then that none of you will be found to have failed to receive that promised rest. For we have heard the good news just as they did. They heard the message, but it did them no good. Because when they heard it, they did not accept it with faith. We who believe then do receive the rest which God promised. It is just as he said, I was angry and made a solemn promise. They will never enter the land where I would have given them rest. He said this even though his work had finished from the time he created the world. For somewhere in the scripture, this is said about the seventh day. God rested in the seventh day from all his works. This same manner is spoken of again. They will never enter that land which I have given them, where I would have given them rest. Those who first heard the good news did not receive that rest because they did not believe. There are then others who are allowed to receive it. This is shown by the fact that God sets another day, which is called today. Many years later, he spoke of it through David in the scripture already quoted. If you hear God's voice today, do not be stubborn. Do not harden your hearts. Do not rebel. If Joshua had given the people the rest that God had promised, God would not have spoken later of another day. As it is, however, there remains for God's people a rest like God's resting on a seventh day. For those who receive the rest which God promised will rest from their own work, even as God rested from his. Let us then do our best to receive that rest so that no one of us will fall or will fail as they did because of their lack of faith. Praise God. See, let us strive. Let us make sure that we all enter into that rest. See, let us believe the gospel. Let us receive this good news by faith and enter into the rest of God. See it? Let us work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Let us work out our salvation with fear and trembling. This is another scripture by Paul. We work out our salvation with fear and trembling because in our that salvation of the Lord Jesus is where we are going to find rest. Locked up within these scriptures in Hebrews chapter 4 are very, very baffling mysteries. Baffling mysteries. Because Paul is subtly talking about the rest of God. About we entering the rest of God. The way God entered his own rest. Like I've told you, the rest of God talks about perfect peace. It talks about ruling and reigning. Having absolute dominion. It talks about conquering your enemies. See, in the days of old, before the children of Israel could enter the promised land, they had to fight battles. They had to put their enemies under their feet. They had to defeat their enemies. See, and to conquer the land before they could enjoy that rest. Or that temporary rest. In likewise manner, in the things of God, we have our work to cut out for us. We have our battle to fight in the spirit. See it? We have our works to do to enter the rest of God. And all these things, first of all, comes by receiving the word, receiving the promise of our rest. You must have a revelation, first of all, of the rest of God, what the rest of God is all about. You must see the rest of God by faith from afar before you can enter into it. Praise God. Now we know what happened to the children of Israel. They received, you know, a promise from God that they were to enter into the promised land. The land promised Abraham and their, you know, and their forefathers, Abraham included. A land flowing with milk and honey. A land where they will live and prosper without scarcity. See it? A land littered with good fruits, fertile lands. The land of Israel was a garden in the midst of the desert. That was the most fertile land. You know how the desert territory is. If you look at the Middle East is, you know, it's a glowing example of a desert arid land. But Israel was different. Israel had was a land that was fertile, that constantly had rain. The land was fertile so that they never needed to toil. Everything was, you know, it was a land where everything was easy. We land with gushing brooks, good fruits, and peace. And that was the land God promised them. See, God was about to release them from their suffering in Egypt. From their, you know, hard servitude. Where they served Pharaoh, they were in bondage to Pharaoh for hundreds of years. And Pharaoh subjected them to torture. They were burdened. And they cried unto the Lord. And the Lord sent his word through Moses. Moses was the one who brought the gospel unto the Israelites. The gospel was a gospel of liberation. where they will be, you know, liberated and, you know, taken into a land flowing with milk and honey, a land where they will find rest for their souls, where they will become the glory of the Lord upon the earth. That was the promise for Israel. God had come down from heaven through Moses, the messenger of God, with good tidings. See, if you look at the song of Miriam, you see, the song of Miriam, when the children of Israel had passed over the Red Sea, the song of Miriam talked about, you know, the Lord taking his inheritance and planting it upon Mount Zion. See, that is the work of liberation that the Lord was trying to perform on the Israelites. See, he was taking them from Egypt, from the land of darkness, from the land of bondage, to plant them upon Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the joy of the whole earth, the glory of the whole earth, Mount Zion, the place where the unlimited blessings of God abound. God wanted to give them rest for their souls, where they could serve God with peace, where they could serve God freely, without hindrance from their enemies. Praise God. But we know what happened. With the mighty God of mighty hand of God, God delivered the Israelites from the hand of Pharaoh. See, by spiritual warfare, God stood and fought on behalf of the Israelites and delivered them in a way that was unbelievable, because Pharaoh was the world power at that point in time. It was impossible to think that Israel could have been delivered from the hand of Pharaoh. To be delivered from him that had horsemen and chariots. But God did that. He delivered them, you know, from their bondages. And God parted the Red Sea and caused them to pass through. And a few days later, you know, God's, you know, asked Moses to send servants into the promised land, the land that they were to inherit, which was a, you know, like we said, a land, a very fruitful land. And the 10 messengers entered into the promised land and brought back fruits. Very, very, very good fruits. Good, healthy looking fruits, apples, grapes, and all that you can think of. This was evidence of the good fruits of the land that they were about to inherit, which God had promised them to, you know, to take them into and to inherit. But the children of Israel, they shrunk back. They refused to believe that God was able to perform that work he said he would perform. They failed to believe that God was able to dispossess the inhabitants of the land, which were like giants, strong men, giants that inhabited the land. See, so they lost faith. And they murmured against God. You see, they set their back on God, and, you know, they set their face towards Egypt, to return back to Egypt, to return back to the world. Egypt represents the land of darkness. It represents the realm of this world where Satan rules absolutely. This world that we see today is a world governed by a spirit that is not of God. It's governed by the spirit of man, which is one with Satan. And men today are reeling succeed in pain and in anguish. Men are in bondage to corruption. Men are in bondage to a sinful nature. Men are in bondage to the elements of this world. Because they walk in relation to a spirit that is not true. They walk in relation to vanity, to darkness. And God wants to deliver us from the darkness into the light. See, we find rest in the light of God. Our rest is in God's light. And it is in God's kingdom. The promised land is a shadow of God's kingdom. The place flowing with milk and honey. A place where there is no lack, where there is no scarcity. A place where we can say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. It's a place of unlimited and, you know, bountiful blessings. Unlimited spiritual blessings in God. See, it where everything is put under our feet. And where we can find rest for our souls. Where Pharaoh and his armies are put under our feet. Pharaoh and his armies talks about the darkness of this world. It talks about the princes and the principalities that govern this dark age. It talks about all the powers of Satan being put under our feet. Praise God. Isn't that what the Bible says, that Christ must rule until everything is put under his feet? Everything must be put under the feet of Christ. And that working is in us, we that believe, we that receive the gospel, the message in this hour. So we are going to go back to the children of Israel so we know what happened. Because the children of Israel refused to believe that the promised land was theirs. They refused to believe the gospel of Moses. They refused to believe what God had promised them. The Bible says that they died off in the wilderness. Their carcasses littered the wilderness. And they never entered into enjoy the unlimited blessings that God promised them. Praise God. Hallelujah. Their bodies littered the wilderness. They died off in the wilderness. In fact, of that generation, all those above 20 years, all of them perished in the wilderness. None of them entered into the promised land. None of them tasted of the promise of God because of the hardness of their hearts, because of their unbelief, because of their rebellion. They failed to receive this gospel by faith and to mix it by faith and to apply it by faith. They failed to believe the message from above. So they never tasted of the rest of God. Praise God. Today there remains a rest. A true rest. Because we know eventually Joshua who took over Jesus, who took over the ministry of Moses, actually took the children of Israel eventually into the promised land. This was after 40 years of wanderings in the wilderness. After 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, God finally took the children of Israel into the promised land by the hand of Joshua, his servant. But we know that that was not the rest God was talking about. Because had it been the rest that God was talking about, David would not have spoken of another rest that is to come. The rest that actually that God is referring to is the rest that Jesus Christ has brought to the world. Jesus Christ is He has come today in our midst by His Spirit to gather us where He is. Isn't it written that where I am is where you will be? I will come and gather you so that where I am, there you will be. See, he's gathering us into the realm of God where we can find peace and rest for our souls. That's why I say, come unto me, all you that are, you know, heavily laden, heavily burdened, and I will give you rest for your souls. Your rest is only found as you are gathered in with Christ. And we know that Christ today dwells upon Mount Zion. Mount Zion is a spiritual location. It is a realm of the Spirit, God's realm. That is where he's gathering his elect into. Praise God. See it. We are being gathered into that realm of perfect peace, of perfect dominion, where we can find true rest for our souls. The messenger today in our midst is Christ, no longer Moses. He's the one that has brought the good tidings to us. He has brought the gospel to us. So now we must receive the gospel by faith and believe in it, so that we can enter into our rest. That's why it says labor. Labor, work, and see that none of you fall short of this rest. See it. Our working is to believe the gospel. See, because once we have believed, we are saved. We have entered into the rest. Praise God. And once somebody might ask, what is the gospel? The gospel is simply that which reveals who you truly are. The gospel is that light shining that reveals that you are offsprings of God. That you are actually God embodied as a man upon the earth. The gospel is that which reveals that you are created in the image and in the likeness of God. The gospel is that which reveals that you and God are one. This is the consciousness that Jesus Christ walked in. And this was the consciousness that differentiated Jesus from every other man. Jesus Christ knew this secret. And he walked by faith in this secret. That is why he walked in the way he walked. Our rest is in Christ Jesus. Our rest is in discovering that the way he is the way we are. That is our rest forever. Praise God. That is when dominion and all authority returns to us. As long as you believe that you are a man, a human being, as long as you believe that God is somewhere in the sky and you are here, as long as you believe that God is separate from you, that you are two different entities, you are living in misery and in poverty. Hallelujah. You are living in tribulation. I and the Father are one is truth revealed from heaven. That is what the gospel is awakening us to. That there is only one. And besides him, there is none other than that is God himself. And we are part and parcel of the Godhead. That is where you will find your rest. Praise God. So we have to work out our salvation. Our salvation that we work out is to realize this mystery in us. Is to realize this mystery in us that we are one with God the Father. That we are one thing. Amen. The reality that we are God manifesting ourselves as men. This is the only way we can find our rest. Our works is geared towards realizing this sacred consciousness. Just meditate on the words of Paul. Paul says that We should labor to enter our rest the way God labored and entered his rest. Just meditate on these words. I just want, let us, I'm going to go now to the Hebrew, the King James version of that verse in Hebrews chapter 4. See it? Let's read from Hebrews chapter 4 verse 9. I read the King James version here. It says, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is rested, or he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Praise God. See, we're laboring to enter the rest of God, the same way God labored to enter his rest. What does this tell you here? Is Paul trying to say that God somewhere in the sky, you know, was in trouble sometime? That somebody somewhere disturbed the peace of God somewhere? Is he trying to say that God was in tribulation and he had to work out his salvation? Let us understand that what we see in Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2 is simply a parable of you and I. Praise God. When the Bible says that God rested from his works, God went forth to create, and God rested from his works. Praise God. This is a reference to you and I. Praise God. Somehow we have found ourselves in trouble. We have found ourselves in a situation where everything is void, without form. Everything is out of control. See, there is a sense of poverty, a sin consciousness. There is a corrupt nature, a sinful nature. There are sicknesses and diseases on every side. There is fear and anxiety of tomorrow on every side. That is the darkness upon the face of the waters. We are the waters. That is the darkness, the ignorance that has covered us as we have descended into becoming mere mortal beings. See it? But God sets out to work. God sets out to work in us. Amen. All that work that God sets out to do is in us. Praise God. You have to realize that you are the seed of God. And once you hear and perceive this message that is coming from heaven in this hour, what you have to do is by faith receive this truth and work your salvation patiently, and so that you can enter into the rest of God. See, working out your salvation is all about loosening yourself from your human nature. It's all about loosening yourself from the belief that you are a mere mortal human being. It's all about loosening yourselves from the belief that you and God are separate entities. Working out your salvation is all about awakening to the fact that you and God the Father are one and inseparable. You are one thing. There's no such thing as I and God. If you still believe that God is somewhere in the sky and you are here on the earth, it simply means that you are veiled. Your mind is veiled. You are walking in what? Absolute darkness. Deep darkness. Praise God. So we have to work out our salvation and rest like God. See it? God does not need 7 physical days to create the world. There is no such thing. God does not need to, you know, to wake up in the morning and create this, trees today, then sleep. Then the next day he wakes up, he creates bed, then he sleeps. All that is religion. These things are allegories. These are secret codes, messages that refer to the work of God in us. Amen. We all are called upon to labor, work at our salvation. We work at our salvation by, you know, loosening ourselves from the chains, from the lies of our human existence. Loosening ourselves into the liberty of the sons of God. Applying the truth, the revelation of the truth, as it comes from God. We apply to our lives by faith and patiently loosen ourselves from the darkness and the corruption of this entity called the world. Because only when we have discovered ourselves back in the sacred consciousness, in the reality that we are one with God the Father, that is when we find rest for our souls. Then Jesus Christ says, in that day you will know that you are in me and I am in the Father. In that day you realize, you will know of the truth that you are Christ. That you are sons of God. And in reality you are in God. You are one with God. You are part and parcel of the Godhead. This is the sacred consciousness, the sacred truth that will deliver you from all your problems and all your fears. Praise God. In this sacred consciousness, you do not need pension schemes. You don't need health insurance schemes. You don't need big bank accounts. You don't need to plan for tomorrow because you are God. Amen. Hallelujah. Somewhere along the line, we slipped and we became mere mortal beings. We lived in relation to vanity. We lived in, you know, as human beings, thinking that we were separate from God. See it? And we try to sort out our salvation, we try to work out our salvation by our works upon the earth. But today the gospel is arriving from heaven. It is revelation from above, revealing our true substance in God. Praise God. And when we receive this revelation, what we are to do next is to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, applying this truth to our lives daily. Praise God. So we are saying that what we see in Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2 is actually God, you and I, working at our salvation so that we can enter into our rest. It's you and I dispelling the darkness, the ignorance in our hearts, and letting the knowledge of the glory of Christ in us shine forth. Praise God. Our true selves have been covered, hidden in thick darkness. So that we did not know who we really were. See it? We thought that we were born of some natural man and natural woman upon the earth. We thought that we were black or white. We thought that we were male or female. We thought that we were creatures, not realizing that we were actually the creators. Praise God. So the hour has come to work out our salvation so that we can enter back into the rest. Like I've explained, rest talks about dominion. Rest talks about, you know, refreshing, peace, joy, pleasures. Praise God. Hallelujah. Believe it or not, the product of the rest of God is seen in Genesis chapter 2 when God placed man in the Garden of Eden. Praise God. What you are seeing in the Garden of Eden is actually God in his rest. Hallelujah. Let's quickly turn to the book of Genesis chapter 2. I see Genesis chapter 2 is a summary of the creation of God. It's a summary of the works of God. We know that God enters his rest on the seventh day after completing his works. And I'm telling you that the rest of God, God resting on the seventh day, is a reflection of Adam. Or let's say Adam in the Garden of Eden is a reflection of God resting on the seventh day. Genesis chapter 2, verse 1, Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. Because in it he rested from all his work which God created and made. Amen. Praise God. That God resting, when he says God rested on the seventh day, like I've said, it's a parable of you and I entering our rest after we have accomplished the work of Christ in our lives. After we have allowed the gospel work in us. After we have applied the truth by faith in us. Then we, like God, entered into the rest. See, like I've said, our rest is in Christ. Christ is the Lord of the Sabbath. Jesus Christ is the Lord of the Sabbath. He's the Lord of the rest. He's the one that enters the rest. The rest was created for him. So if we find ourselves in Christ, we are the ones in the rest of God. Like I told you, Christ is God. I am the Father I want. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I am the Father manifesting myself as a man upon the earth. Praise God. It's only when you arise from the dead, arise from the ignorance of your human existence, and awaken to the reality that you are God, that you are part and parcel of the Godhead. That is when all dominion and rest is restored unto you. That is when you find yourself, you know, in the Sabbath of God, in the rest of God. Now let's go back to Genesis chapter 2, verse 4. These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created. In the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, and every plant of the field before it was upon the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was no man to till the ground. But there went a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God formed man out of the dust and breathed into his nostril the breath of life. And he became a living soul. And the Lord planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. Praise God. And out of the ground made the Lord to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden. And from thence it was parted and became into four heads. Hallelujah. The name of the first is Pishon. That is it which compassed the land of Avila, where there is gold. And the gold of that land is good. There is Bedlam and the Oink Stone. And the name of the second river is Gihon. And the same is it that compassed the whole land of Ethiopia. And the name of the third river is Hiddekel. That is it which goeth towards the east of Assyria. And the fourth river is Euphrates. And the Lord God took man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Praise God. Now let's stop there. What a wonderful piece of scripture there. Praise God. Now you can see the workings of God here. You can see the work of God. Like I've said, this work of God happens within us. See it? What we can see that the creation was dead. It talks about our dead in state. When we are dead in our sins and trespasses. When we are dead in our material consciousness. When we are dead living in relation to vanity, in relation to a material world. When we are annihilated from the life of God, see, by the vanity that was in our minds. Isn't that what Paul writes? Paul writes that the Gentiles are annihilated from the life of God, from the vanity that is in their minds. Their minds is fixed on vanity. Their mind is fixed on a material, temporal world. And if they lived according to sight, they've lived according to their natural senses, they've lived according to their outer identities as human beings, as flesh and blood, and in thus living in that manner, they have corrupted themselves. They have been reduced to mere mortals. Hallelujah. They have been reduced to mere mortals who are cut off from the life of God. Praise God. But that becomes a time for a quickening within the dead man. See it? Where everything is a desert, like no trees, no plants, no vegetation, nothing. There comes a time for a quickening within us. Praise God. And that quickening comes from within us. The Father begins to speak within us. Praise God. The Father begins to release His word, His knowledge of truth, which is the water. See it? That's why the Bible says that, you know, a mist came out of the earth to water the ground, the face of the earth. And God formed man out of the dust. Let us understand that man in this context here is not talking about the natural man you see outside. The natural man you see walking upon the earth who does not know God. The natural man that does not know God upon the earth, the people who are cut off from the life of God, the Gentiles, are actually referred to, spiritually speaking, as dust. Dust. So spiritually speaking, as long as a man lives in relation to flesh and blood, he's regarded as dust. That's why it says, dust you are, and to dust you return. Dust. We are buried in the dust. The Gentiles, the ignorant, people who live as men, as flesh and blood, are buried in the dust. This is the graveyard of human living. They are dead in their sins and trespasses. If you do not have a revelation of yourself in the glory of God, you are dead. If you do not have a revelation of yourself that you and God the Father are one and one, one and one, you are dead. If you live in relation to your outer man, in relation to the outer identity, you are dead. If you live in relation to a material external world, you know, thinking that you are born by, you know, by natural parents, thinking that you have your origin in some kind of country, in a geographical location somewhere upon the earth, thinking that you are male or you are female, you are dead. See, and as long as you live in that manner, you cannot see the place of life. You cannot see the realm flowing with milk and honey. You cannot see the realm of pleasure. You cannot see God's paradise. God's paradise is for God. God's kingdom is for God. Man cannot enter God's kingdom. What enters into God's kingdom is God. That is where the born again process comes. We must be born again. There must be a rebirth, a bringing forth of the true man within us, which is God. We must awaken in our consciousness and let our consciousness birth the Christ, which is one with God, the Father. It's only as God can we enter into God's kingdom. As men, we cannot enter into God's kingdom. So what happens is, within us, a revelation of the word begins to sprinkle forth, which is the water of the word. See it? And the breath of life, which is the Spirit of God, becomes alive on the inside of us once more. Praise God. And that is when we can actually awaken from the dust and begin to live as true men in the image and in the likeness of God. It's only as the word of truth and the Spirit of the living God quickens us that we can find ourselves back in the place of God's glory. See, God placed man in the garden. That is God himself in the Garden of Eden. That is the place of rest. That is the place of delights, of pleasures, of absolute dominion. That is the Sabbath. Finding yourself in the Garden of Eden is the Sabbath of the Lord. It's the day of the Lord. It is the realm of pleasures, joy that no man can touch. Joys that the principality and powers cannot strip away from you. Oh, hallelujah. The Spirit of God must be breathed in us. The Word of God must become alive in us. That's why he says we must be born again of water and of spirit. Flesh and blood cannot enter into God's kingdom. A human being cannot enter into God's kingdom. A natural man of the natural birth, with a sense of belonging to a natural material world, cannot enter into the realm of God. You must awaken to the fact that you have the same substance with God your Father. You must awaken to the fact that you are spirit, celestial beings, in the image of God the Father. Praise God. Then, in that consciousness, you realize the rest of God. Praise God. So we are forming man. Our work now is to form man, remold ourselves in the image of God by applying the Spirit of God. Amen. And the Word of God in us. That is the work. These are the works of God. This is the work of God that puts us in the rest of God. Amen. That's why Paul says you should stir up the gift in you. Stir up the gift in you. Stir up the gift in you is a stirring up of that thing that God has given to us as a free gift. That is the only means by which we can have salvation. Amen. The gift of God transforms our thinking. It transforms our mind back to the mind of God. Before now, we have lived according to the spirit of the age or the spirit of man. Now, the spirit of man is the spirit that, you know, is attached to this physical material world. It's the spirit that is attached to the natural, to the physical, to this temporal entity called the world. Say it. If you still look at yourself as a man, a female, a male, or you still look at yourself as black or white or American or Arab or Christian or Jew and all these things, you are still walking by the spirit of man. And you are dead in ignorance, in your sins and in your trespasses. You are dead, ignorant of your true substance. And how can you find rest? You can't find the rest of God in that manner. But if you receive the free gift of God, which is the Spirit of God, the breath of God, Your mind is substituted for the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ, like we know, is the mind that considers it not robbery to be equal with God. It is the mind that knows that I and the Father are one. It is the mind that knows that I am God manifested in the flesh. I am God manifesting as a man in the flesh. That is the mind of Christ. That is what the Spirit reveals. The Spirit reveals your true identity. The Spirit of God awakens you to the fact that you are not a material being. It awakens you to the fact that you are sons of God. Amen. That you are actually God descended, who has entered into the creation as a man to enjoy the fruit of creation. Hallelujah. That's why Jesus Christ says, he breathed upon his disciples and says, receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. Our forgiveness, our liberation, our entrance into glory is as we receive the Spirit of God, which is none other than the mind of God. It is that which reveals us the way we are. Amen. The Spirit of God gives us a new tongue. That's why it says that they shall speak with a new tongue. We no more speak with the tongue of men, but we speak with the tongue of God. We speak the celestial language. It's only as you speak the mind of God. It is only as you speak with the tongue of God, the divine mind, that you can enter into God's kingdom and enjoy the fruits of God's rest. Amen. Everything has to be changed. You have to lose all that lie, all the knowledge you have gained in relation to your outer self in this world of appearances, and connect back to your true identity, which is God. Praise God. So we can see what, when you see Adam being placed in the Garden of Eden to enjoy the Garden of Eden, the Garden of Pleasures, that is God. Amen. That is God. That is God entering his rest. That is God in the Sabbath. God has completed his work and now he enters his rest. We have to do the same works. Let the Spirit of God lead us into Christ. Let us be subject to the mind of God. Let us be subject to the mind of Christ. And let it, you know, that is the only way we can find entrance into God's kingdom, where we can rule and reign as God upon the earth. All authority in heaven and earth given unto me is given unto I. It's not given to Jesus in the sky. It's not given to Jesus of Nazareth 2,000 years ago. It's given to Christ, the Son of God, which is in you and in I. But our work now is to realize it. When we have that power, all power in heaven and earth, working in us, as when we walk as God, then everything like fear, everything like anxiety, everything like sickness, like disease, like death, all these things fade away. Because God does not die. Hallelujah. God does not die. If you get the mystery, if you awaken to the reality that you and the Father are one, how can you possibly die? Praise God. But if you continue on in vanity, in living in relation to vanity, if you continue on in, you know, living as men of the dust, if you continue on living as a mortal human being, you will die as a man. Praise God. You will die as an ordinary man. You will die without knowledge. You will not see the glory of God. You will not enjoy the rest of God. You will only perish off, like the multitudes perish off. Brethren, this gospel has been preached for so many years, and very few ever catch this revelation. Very few in the days of their flesh ever get to understand the mystery of godliness. Very few in the days of their flesh enter into the rest of God. So we are admonished to strive day and night. Let our groaning be to realize this mystery. Let our groaning be to be found in this consciousness that I and the Father are one. This is our walking day and night. This is our meditation day and night. See it? We war day and night. We pray day and night. We fast day and night. Only to attain to the reality, to the realization of this sacred consciousness. And this sacred consciousness is our peace and our rest forever. Praise God. So let us labor to enter into our rest. The way God labored to enter his rest is simply a parable. What we saw in Genesis chapter 1 is a parable of you and I doing the works to enter our rest. Our works is to loosen ourselves from the deceit of our human existence. Our works is to loosen ourselves from the grip of mortality. Hallelujah. It is to loosen ourselves from the grip of corruption and to enter back into the glorious liberty of the Son of God. To enter back into the realm of God where we rule and reign in one with God. Hallelujah. In that day we sit upon a throne with the Father. Isn't it written? In the book of Revelation chapter 3, in the letter to the church of the Laodiceans, God says that to those that overcome, I will grant them to sit with me upon my throne, the way I overcame and sat upon the throne of my Father. Praise God. The way I overcame and sat upon the throne of my Father. That is our calling, brethren. Our calling is to overcome the outer man, which is actually Satan, the prince of this world. He is the one that obstructs us from the knowledge of God. He is the one that obstructs our view of the rest and the paradise of God. Now, with the revelation of who we are coming from heaven, with the revelation shining forth from heaven, revealing Christ, the Son of God, revealing the glory of God in us, we are to pick up spiritual arms and overcome him. Amen. And if we overcome him, when we overcome him, hallelujah, we find ourselves sitting upon our rightful throne, ruling and reigning with God. Because in reality, that is us. We are one with the Father. Praise God. That is our destiny. That is our origin and our destiny. So let us labor. Receive this word by faith. And let your groaning and your prayer and your meditation be focused on the divine mind. Be focused on the realization of your true selves. To realize that I and the Father are one. To realize that you are actually God the Father, manifesting yourself as a man to reveal the mystery of godliness for all men to see. Amen.